This morning, I entitled my sermon, Bearing Witness to the Truth. Now, if a person is summoned to the court and to take a stand as a witness, they are asked to take an oath and swear to tell what? I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. In any court case, the key aspect of any proceedings, in order for the court to be able to decide a case, you need what? Witnesses. You need someone to testify. You need someone to witness. So witnessing is very, very important. A case cannot be settled without someone bearing witness and testifying for or against the case. Did you know that Christ once stood before trial during his arrest? And we find that in Matthew 26 and 27, we read there that he stood before the Sanhedrin and before the high priest. And there in Matthew 26, towards the end of the chapter, it says there that they brought a lot of false witnesses, remember, to testify against Jesus, to catch him in something. But those witnesses were false witnesses, so their testimony didn't withstand. But then what happens, the Bible tells us that Jesus was taken before Pontius Pilate to stand the trial. So here we come to John chapter 18. I want you to open with me in John chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. John 18, verse 37 to 38. In this conversation with Pontius Pilate, between Jesus and Pontius Pilate, an important question is being asked, which is the cornerstone of any testimony. And we read here, Pilate therefore said to him, to Jesus, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king, for this cause I was what? I was born, and for this cause or for this reason I have come into the world that I should what? Bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then verse 38, just the beginning. Pilate said to him, what is truth? This question, an age-old question, and people since then and before have been asking the same question. What is truth? Unfortunately today, there are many, many people that misunderstand what truth is. Today, unfortunately, truth became a very loose term. People define truth in many different ways. They even have categories of truth today. People provide today many obscure answers to the question, what is truth? And some answers are, some people say truth is relative. Have you heard about that? Some people say truth is subjective. And we'll talk about the relative truth a little bit later. Some people say truth is in the eyes of the beholder. Whatever is truth for you, that's fine. Some people say science is truth. The others say just there is no truth at all. So the question is once again, what is truth? You know, it's very fitting that at this time of the year, when all the people are talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, that we read this passage in John chapter 18, verses 37, 38, because Jesus starts verse 37, his explanation, a very interesting way. He says, for this reason I was born. We know from the Bible, even before Jesus was born, that he was given the reason why he would come to this earth. when the angel came to Mary and said, you'll have a son and his name will be Jesus, because he'll be what? The savior of this world. That's the reason he came to this earth. But it's interesting to see that in the words of Jesus himself, what he gives as the cause for him being born on this earth. And what is the reason? To bear witness to the truth. Many people think today there is no absolute truth. You heard that, right? Truth for them is simply what they think. Everything is relative, and what is true for them might not be true for others. This is such a popular theory today, relative truth or subjective truth. Unfortunately, this idea of relative truth is creeping into the church as well. It doesn't stay just out there in the world, in the society. The relative truth today is very popular in the Christian world. And this is an unfortunate thing. You can hear people saying this, that's fine if God exists for you, but he doesn't exist for me, so that's the truth for me. That is your truth? You believe he exists? This is my truth. Because all truth is relative, it doesn't matter what you think. It only matters what I think about that. Do you see the danger in that kind of mentality? The relative truth is one of the greatest lies of the devil. Let me illustrate the problem with the relative truth. Imagine that you travel with your children in the car. And at one point, your son looks out the window and says, wow, I saw a bird, and the bird's color was red, black, and yellow. And as soon as the son says that, your daughter interrupts and says, no, the color was only red and black. There was no yellow. And then the son responds back. Now he's upset, and he says, no, you're wrong. The bird had some yellow on the side. At this point, you are tired as a parent of this arguing, right? And you step in as a parent and you say this thing. Guys, it doesn't matter. Sometimes people see things differently and everyone can be right at the same time. Did you see the danger there? Now, fast forward 1 week later. Your son runs, you're in the kitchen cooking, and the son runs into the kitchen screaming and crying. He says, my sister hit me. But the sister is standing right behind and says, no, I did not hit him. And then you as the mother say, but he came crying and he says that you hit him, so who is right? Then you look at her face, and with a smile in her face, the daughter says, but mom, remember, you told us that we can both be right. Sometimes people see things differently. As you know, kids catch on those things very quickly. So be careful what you tell your children about the right and wrong. But anyway, to stay on the topic of relative truth, as obvious as it may seem, there are many things which are true or not true. In this story, either the son was right, or the daughter was right, or both of them were wrong. It is impossible for both of them to be right. Do you catch what I'm saying? The bird either was black, red, or yellow, or only black or red, or it was none of those colors. The bird cannot be all those colors at the same time. They cannot both be right. So the color of the bird in this story is an example of absolute truth. It's not relative. To say that something is absolutely true means that it is independently true for all people, even if they do not know it or recognize it as truth. It's still truth. Now, the opposite is the relative truth. To say that something is relatively true means that it can be true for one person and false for another person. And if you look at this story that I just, a hypothetical story I presented to you, If your son had said when he looked at the bird and said, wow, what a wonderful bird, and the daughter interrupted and said, oh no, that bird is ugly, they can both be right. And that's an example of relative truth, because it's in the how you perceive, all right? Relative truth is they could have both told the truth, because beauty is a matter of opinion, right? But the color of the bird is not a matter of just an opinion. It is true or it is false. Now, why am I going with this and telling you this? Because once again, the existence of absolute truth is a necessary foundation for Christianity. And Satan is doing his best today to ruin and destroy that foundation. Some things are absolute and cannot be relative. Now, let me give you an example. No sane person would ever say that gravity works for you, but it doesn't work for me. You know what I'm saying? No sane person would say, well, it's fine if you believe in gravity, but I don't. And then they go on and proceed to jump off of a tall building believing that there will be no harm because gravity doesn't work for them. But there are so many people today that say that the existence of God is relative and everything that relates to the Bible is relative. This is why the relative truth is so dangerous. But as I look at this, the idea of relative truth is very appealing to people, even to Christians. Why would it be appealing to the Christians? Well, it's very easy, because the idea of relative truth is easy to accept and it's easy to live by this principle. Just think about it. If everything is relative, then you don't have to bother to commit to anything or take a stand for any principles. Why would I commit to something and stand for something if it's relative? Well, you see it this way, but I see it this way, so for me, it's fine. I don't care about that. If the idea of relative truth is, you know, why the people accept it, if everything is relative, then the way you live your life doesn't matter. And that's the biggest danger here. If it seems right to you, then you're good to go. If it seems right to you, you're fine. This reminds me of a time in the history of Israel when we read in the book of Judges, and this phrase is repeated many times in the book of Judges. You can find it very, very often repeated. The Bible says there in the book of Judges that there was no king in Israel. And you remember what it says afterwards? And everyone what? Did what was right in his own eyes. Do you see? That's pretty much what the relative truth says. Hey, whatever is good for me, that is the truth. I see this way, you see differently, we are both right. So we are repeating the same history of nation of Israel when everybody did what was right in their own eyes. If King Jesus is not on the throne in your heart, this is the truth you'll believe in the relative truth. That's why a lot of people say there is no truth, everything is relative, because there is no king in their lives. Jesus is not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their lives. And everything is relative for them. We all know this type of mentality didn't work for the nation of Israel, but we still think today if we hold on to that type of mentality, it will work well for us. Now, in contrast to the relative view of truth, the Bible presents a completely different view of truth. And now I want to go, and we'll do a little Bible study from the book of John about the truth. Are you okay with that? We'll stay in the book of John. We'll read quite a few verses from the book of John, so I want you to follow with me in your Bibles from the book of John. We'll start most famous verse, John 14, verse 6. And this is how Jesus himself defines the truth. Jesus says there what? You don't even have to open. I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. So, Jesus is the truth. It is interesting to see that in this passage, every time Jesus uses a definite article in front of every noun. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. What is so important about using a definite article? Because in other words, what Jesus is saying, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only source of life. That's the importance of using a definite article. If you use an indefinite article, then it's different. But Jesus made sure that he uses the definite article here. So this verse tells us that truth is not a principle. Truth, Jesus doesn't say that truth is a religion or a ritual or a set of rules and regulation. But truth is what? A person. Truth is a person, is Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you believe in relative truth, then you can say that Jesus is relative. If Jesus is the truth, then is Jesus really relative? Well, a lot of people do that because they say, well, Jesus for us is just a good person. A whole religion says that. The Jews, they say what? He was a teacher and a good person. So in their view, Jesus is someone else than what we see him to be. The Muslims, another big religion, they say what about Jesus? They do believe in Jesus, that he was what? He was a prophet, one of the great prophets. But to Christian view, what is the importance to establish the identity of Jesus? He was divine Son of God. And there is nothing relative about that. This is why I'm saying that Satan is trying to destroy this Christian foundation of absolute truth, because he wants us to misunderstand the identity of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go to John 8:32. If Jesus is the truth, then when we find the word truth, we can substitute it with word Jesus instead of truth, right? So John 8:32 says what? And you shall know the truth and what? And the truth shall set you free. So try to put word Jesus in there instead of truth. And you shall know Jesus, and Jesus shall make you free. So knowing the truth is knowing Jesus, which means that the truth is experiential. It's all about a relationship, is experience. Knowing in the Old Testament, the New Testament, means having an experience, having a relationship with someone. Isn't that what the Bible really teaches us? The Bible is very clear that our Christian life is all about what? It's an experience. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We all know the verse in Matthew 7, 21, 23 tells us about when Jesus comes, many will come and say, Jesus, we have known the truth all our lives, and we have done this and this and this for you. And what Jesus will say to them? Depart from me, I have never known you. In other words, you have never had a deep and meaningful relationship with me, so I don't know you. Truth is experiential, and I want you to remember that. I don't want you to forget that. If you forget everything about the sermon today, remember this point. Truth is about having an experience and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me read you a quote from Christ Object Lesson, page 43, and it says there, but the teacher of sacred truth can impart only that which he himself knows by experience. So if you want to go share the truth or share Jesus with others, you must yourself first have that experience with Jesus before you go to give it to someone else. And we forget that point. It says here, the teacher of sacred truth can impart only that which he or she himself, herself, knows by experience. Listen, she continues here. Christ taught the truth because he was the truth. His own thought, his character, his life experience were embodied in his teaching. So with his servants, those who would teach the word are to make it their own by a personal experience. So maybe that is why a lot of people are afraid to go and share with others, because they don't really have an experience with Jesus Christ. This is just a thought for you to think about. You cannot share what you don't have. You cannot give to others what you have not experienced yourself. So here, where we come back to our text in John 18, 37 to 38, and I want you to go back to that text, John 18, 37 and 38. Remember in the beginning I told you that Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin and before Pilate. And it's interesting that the case for Christ is still going on today, and every person must come up with their own verdict of whether Jesus is really who he claims to be or not. The case for Christ did not end with Pilate and his crucifixion. Everyone today has to make a decision in relationship to Jesus. Is he really who he claims to be? And you have to give a verdict, because Jesus is on trial in your life and in my life, and we have to give a verdict who Jesus really is. When we read John 18 and verse 36 again, verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should," what? "Bear witness to the truth." He says, this is the reason I came, to bear witness. Now, if our definition is that Jesus is the truth, then we can say that Jesus came to bear witness to whom? To himself. When he said to the Pilate, "I came to bear witness," he said, "I came to bear witness to myself." But will that be enough, just one witness? How many witnesses does it take for a case to be decided according to the Bible? How many witnesses do you need? Two or three, but not less than two, right? Remember, Deuteronomy 19:15 says that a matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So let's look in the book of John and see how many more witnesses we have here. We have Jesus testifying about himself, but I want you to go to John 8 and verse 18 and see who else testifies of Jesus. Who else testifies to the truth? 8 and verse 18. It says there, I'm happy to hear the Bible's going like that, you know, so. "I am one," says Jesus, "who bears" what? "Witness of myself." We already established that Jesus bears witness to himself. And then he says what? "And the Father who sent me" does what? "Bears witness of me." So we have the second witness. We have Jesus testifying of himself. And then who else? The Father himself testifies and bears witness to Jesus. Let's find out a few more witnesses. Let's find out a few more witnesses. I want you to go to John 15. John 15, verse 26 and 27. We're finding witnesses for Jesus' case. 26 and 27. "But when the Helper comes, which is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send," says Jesus, "to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will do" what? John is very clear in his gospel. You'll find this "testify of me," testifying to Jesus, numerous times. It's only in the book of John that you find that somebody testifying of him. And then verse 27, he's talking to whom here? To the disciples. And then he says what? "And you also will" what? "Bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." So we have two more witnesses here. First, Jesus says, "When I'm going to heaven, I'm not going to be here to bear witness to myself anymore, but I'm going to send" whom? "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to testify of me." But then he continues. He says, well, the Holy Spirit will have some help. He's not going to do this work on his own. He will have you as witnesses, because you will testify, you will bear witness of me. Every true disciple of Jesus Christ will become a witness for Jesus. Amen? Every true disciple of Jesus Christ will become a witness. Every Christian's testimony is vitally important in the case for Christ. When Jesus was ascending to heaven, he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, but you shall receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? My witnesses. Do you see that theme repeating time and time again? There are witnesses, and we become those witnesses as well. So, there is one more witness for Jesus, and that is the written word of God. I want you to go with me to John 17 and verse 17. And once again, it's a very popular verse. John 17 verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is what? Your word is truth. Truth is far more than just facts. It's not just something we act upon, but it's something that acts upon us. Because here the Bible says, Jesus says that we will be sanctified by the truth. Sanctify means what? Being set aside, being transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ each and every day. So the written word of God has the power to transform us. It sanctifies us. As Christ is the living word and he's the truth, so his written word is the truth. And Jesus also says in John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Do you see that theme over and over again in the book of John? I was excited when I was discovering, putting all these pieces together. Everything in the book of John and everyone testifies of Jesus, testifies of truth. Now the question, as we're coming to a closing here, the question that I have for you is, if we have Jesus himself and the Father as witnesses, and then we have the Holy Spirit as witnesses, we have the written word, the Bible as a witness, and then we have all the believers as witnesses, why then the case of Christ has not been settled yet? If there is so much testimony, if there is so much witness for Christ, why the case hasn't settled yet? Now, is it the fault with the written word of God? Is it the fault with the Father? Is the fault with Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Where does the fault lie with? With the believers. The chain breaks with us. If we fail to bear witness to Jesus as the absolute truth, then how will people know what truth is? Maybe because the Christians are failing to bear witness to Jesus, that is why the world is confused today in relationship to what truth is. So what is the best way to bear witness to Christ? There are two very simple ways. We can bear witness with what? With our words, with what we say. We can declare the truth of the gospel with our mouth. And a lot of us are afraid to open our mouths and talk to others about our faith. But there is a second way. We can witness with what? With our lives, with our actions. And this is the best way to witness and bear witness to Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to John chapter 5, verse 36. There's a very interesting verse here. John 5 and verse 36. Jesus talks and says, but I have a greater witness than John's for me. He's talking about John the Baptist. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, do what? Bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So how did Jesus prove that he was really the Son of God? By his works, by his life. Shouldn't we do the same as his followers? If we really want to bear witness to Jesus Christ, the best way is your personal life testimony. It's your life experience. It's the experience that you have with Jesus each and every day. Your relationship with Jesus Christ will say more to people than anything else. Let me conclude with this illustration. Klein Snodgrass, in his book Between the Two Truths, Living with Biblical Tension, he tells this fictitious story about the devil who once was walking along the way with one of his demons, and they both saw a person in front of them, saw that that person picked up something very shiny. And the demon asked the devil, what did he find? And the devil said, he found a piece of truth. Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of truth? Asked the demon. No, said the devil. I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it. Out of a piece of truth, but not out of the whole truth. And there are so many people in our churches make a religion out of just a piece of truth. If in the earthly courts, when we testify, we take an oath to tell what? The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. How much more should we do this in our spiritual lives? Amen? So are we going to just present a piece of truth, half-truth, or the whole truth about Jesus? If we truly want to follow Jesus, there is no other way for us except to bear a complete witness to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is a lot of skepticism in this world about Jesus. The biggest tool for the skeptics today is the lives of so-called followers of Jesus Christ, who bear a false witness to him. There are a lot of Christians just with the name, and these people are bearing a false witness. And these are the tools that Satan uses to drive people away from Christ and from the church. So the question is, what type of witness are you bearing today for Jesus Christ? Jesus says in John 18:37, "For this reason I was born, to bear witness to the truth." So, for the same exact reason, each and every one of us is born again to bear witness to the truth, who is Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Amen.